back on the post game, Anna saw some tweets she liked. She's in a good mood.
Yeah.
Yesterday, here's yet another gym story. They're now very close to being unbearable. Mm-hmm. I'm going to end all of them soon. I ran into the new Laker head coach. Not a big deal.
Okay. I was about to tell you, I don't think your gym stories are unbearable, but what you just said, a little unbearable.
Okay, yeah. No, but here comes the fun part. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell you. So everybody's talking to him. That's weird. I just blanked on his name.
Byron Scott.
Thank you, Byron Scott. Only one of my favorite players growing up. Okay. And so everybody's always been talking to him. He happens to go to the gym I go to, which is ridiculous and surreal and all that. And he's the friendliest guy you've ever seen, smiling with everybody, yada, yada, yada. I mean, he talks to everybody at the gym, takes time. I don't know how he exercises. All he ever does is talk to people in the gym who come up to him, okay? That was before he got hired as coach.
Sounds like an Armenian woman at the gym.
That's funny. And then, and now after he got hired, he's even more besieged.
Yeah.
So I finally say, okay, look, I've been wanting to talk to the guy for 6 months. Finally, I'll go up to him and I'll say something. Otherwise, it's going to be eating at me, right?
Right.
So I go to talk to him, and he's like this, like, super cross. I'm like, what? How could I have been the one guy he doesn't like?
Damn.
Yeah, and he looked super annoyed. And he had just been talking to two people he was, again, super friendly with.
Maybe he was annoyed because he was already done talking. He wanted to get a workout
in, and then
you happened to be like...
No. And I'm sure that that was the case.
Yeah.
And I kind of came up to him in the middle of an exercise because I didn't know what else to come up to him. So I fucked it up. I screwed up a situation where it seemed that it was unscrew-up-able.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I told him... The one other interaction where I had with him, where he kicked me out of a gym, and then he's like, "Oh, that's funny." So he laughed.
Because how did he kick you out of a gym?
He back when he was coaching, we had gone to the Nike thing in Oregon. You remember how we went to Portland?
Yeah.
And part of that was a visit through the Nike facility.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turned out his team was practicing there because they were about to play the Trailblazers.
Uh huh.
And we walked into the gym not knowing that, and we're like, "Oh my God, cool! It's you know." I think it was, what was he coaching, Cavaliers or whatever at the time, right? And we're like, oh, that's neat. So we're looking at it like, huh? And he's like, hey, guys, get the fuck out of the gym.
He said it like that? Wow.
Because he's been in the middle of coaching a private practice.
Damn.
Okay. So.
I mean, he could be polite about it.
No, the nicest guy in the world has now been a dick to me twice.
Twice. Damn.
But I earned it both times.
Yeah, I feel like you're pestering the poor guy.
I know. And so he laughed at that story, and now we're on good terms.
Oh, cool.
You guys
are going to brunch on Sunday.
Totally.
Yeah.
If you paid him $1,000, he couldn't possibly tell you what my name is. Anyway, that was a fun little gym story. All right, what's your story?
So I briefly talked about getting a new car on a post-game show before. And so tomorrow, I have to return my lease.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because the car that I had before was a lease.
Oh, I see.
That I leased through my boyfriend at the time, who's not my boyfriend anymore.
Okay, so sorry, gotta return it.
No, it's the worst, though, because
I have... Oh, you have to go see him to return it?
Okay, so thankfully, I do not have to do that, because he, switched over, power of attorney or some bullshit like that to my name, so I have no worries about that. But, look, he's not even part of the issue. The issue is... I was an idiot who just completely trusted him and didn't ask any questions, so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into when I leased a vehicle, right? So it was such a great deal. I'm like, wow, almost no money down and $200 a month. That's fucking amazing for this car, right?
Right.
And then now I realize that if I don't get it, it was a Lincoln. If I don't get into another Lincoln, I have to pay something called a lease end fee. Right?
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, so let me educate you guys on this if you don't know.
Oh.
And I just leased a new car, right? And I'm going to continue leasing because when I had actually paid off a car, the second I paid it off, it started breaking down. It was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I like getting a new car every 3 months, okay?
Every three years. she's not living that high.
Every 3 years, yes.
Right.
So anyway, so there's the lease end fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read some... articles on what you should expect, and they do an inspection of the vehicle, and if it has excess wear and tear, they will charge you for it, understandably, right? Here are some of the things they charge you for. Tires. So if the tires are...
This sounds super fishy. I've had a couple of leases end. They charge me nothing.
They charge you nothing? Did you have any dents or dings or...
Some major ones I had to fix because it was, I mean, I crashed the car.
Right. No, I hadn't crashed it. No.
Right. Which I'm gonna have to do. So what sucks is that me and Wendy are the worst drivers, but luckily just in parking lots, so we don't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we smashed the shit out of the car in the parking lots. And so, but we're too lazy to fix them for the whole time we have the lease.
Right, so you wait until the very end.
Exactly, we wait till the end, and that's when we fix them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somebody keyed Wendy's car, and we drive around like that because we don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we have to go and fix all that stuff. But I've turned in cars where there was little dents or scratches, but they were small, and they're like, oh, don't sweat that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's gonna happen. I mean, I got rear-ended by someone, and there's like a significant dent in the bumper. Significant is too much. There's a dent, a little dent, right? And I feel like I'm gonna get screwed over with that. I think they're gonna look at the tires. They're gonna screw me over with that. And then also tonight I have to go to the
Val. For 2 years, like you're not gonna go through tires in 2 years.
Really?
You're gonna drag that much.
I don't know.
There's no way you're gonna get.
I just feel like I'm gonna get. So I'm like, I've kind of been in a bad mood today, like thinking about it, right? Mm-hmm. Because not only that, I have to go stay over in the Valley tonight because my appointment to return the lease is at 8:30 in the morning in the Valley. So there's no way I'm gonna drive from like Los Angeles. I'm not gonna drive from civilization to the Valley.
Look at this girl. Look at the evolution of this girl. Right. Damn. She used to be like, oh, I don't need LA. What's in LA? Nothing, right? The Valley's the best. Now, like, oh, please, I have to go back to the Valley from civilization.
I don't think we did it that bad. I don't think we were that bad.
No, I'm obviously partially kidding. But like,
oh, God, what has become of our little Anna?
I don't know. But it's also like, I kind of want to just go home tonight and stay in my apartment, but I'm going to go stay at my parents' house. And then.
But that's not like, I just came from my parents' house because I was in New Jersey for the draft.
Yeah.
I love staying at my parents' house.
I know.
They're going to sell it. So, you know, I'm like a king of nostalgia. Everybody knows this, right? I would literally walk through every room like 2-10 times.
Your parents are going to sell the family home?
Yeah.
Why? So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, we're done. They live in Turkey. And so Murat's going to graduate from college in May. So Murat's my younger nephew. And so it's my older sister has two kids. And now they're both going to be out of college. So that's it. We're done with the house, right? And so I kept wandering through the house like, oh, this is where I came up with the idea for the point.
I think I would be pretty devastated if my parents sold our family.
That's why I'm saying when you go home, soak it in,
enjoy it. They're not going to sell it. They're going to leave
it to me. That's what you think until all of a sudden.
No.
They're going to leave it to you.
They are going to leave it to me. That's what they told me.
But that's crazy. That's hopefully a million years from now.
Right. I mean, yes, I agree. And I hope that they live there for the rest of their lives and they enjoy the home and then they never sell it because it's like nostalgic. You're right. I would feel terrible if they sold that house.
Right.
I won't let that happen.
So I had a lot of feelings this weekend about nostalgia and about how much should you let go and in the immortal words of Barack Obama, look forward, not look backward, and how much should you look backward. And of course, the epiphany is the most obvious one in the world. Some balance, right? Because I read this great article about how nostalgia actually makes you happier. You know why? And people who are nostalgic are happier. It's because what it is it's an appreciation of your past. And the number one indicator of whether you're gonna be happy or not is whether you appreciate things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people who are nostalgic appreciate their past and hence are appreciative people who are happy, right? So, and that's true with me. I'm a super happy guy in real life. I'm super nostalgic in real life. But there are bounds of reason. Like, I'm holding on to, like, as I was going through the house, going through my papers, my old clothes and stuff that's lying around, I'm like holding on to the Steelers football I had when I was a kid, every piece of clothing, even ones that I barely wore. I'm like, oh no, I'm never gonna have that again.
I know. And like, while you're doing that, don't you think about all the different stages of life you experience and how different one stage is from another, how drastically different one stage is from another in a lot of cases.
Totally.
You know, and it's weird because I have that kind of nostalgia. I have really fond memories of my childhood. I was lucky enough to have a great childhood. And even like the early days of TYT, I'm like super nostalgic about that. Mm-hmm. Like things have become great. I mean, there are lots of upsides to what the company has become and everything, but it's not as simple. You know what I mean? There's like chaos happening all the time. And you like think back at those old days, and you're like, aw, the five of us. You know what I mean?
So. The simplicity of when Dave Kohler ran everything.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Dave kept it simple.
He did.
Yeah. Anyways, so that was our weekend. You're gonna return the car, you're gonna go to your mom's house, but now you're gonna enjoy it because of what I told you.
I am, and I love my mom, and I love my dog, and it's gonna be nice.
You're not gonna pull on the leash at all, right?
No, and if I do, I know you'll support me, so.
It's too bad JR missed that segment.
You know what, though? Funny thing is, he agreed with us.
Uh-huh.
So I think that there might have been a little bit of disagreement between you two. Not on the point about how people value their pets more than actual human beings, but I don't think he would have sided with you on this particular case.
Yeah. But look, I'm not saying the video wasn't bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, people go mental over things, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Enjoy your past, but also look forward. What an unbelievable conclusion here on The Young Turks. Don't say we didn't tell you, because we just did. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.